Please be respected to the Buddha by reciting Namo Tassa three times. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Today, we would like to explain about the Bindeng origination again. After you had already discerned ultimate materiality and mentality, you must try to discern the Bindeng origination, which is Samudaya Sejjak, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. How you should try to discern, I had explained in my last Dhamma talk. Today, I want to introduce you one story about a poor man. On one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling at Rajagaha. In bamboo grove, the squirrel sanctuary. There he addressed bhikkhus thus, bhikkhus. Venerable, they replied. Then the Blessed One said this story. Bhikkhus, once in the bus, there was a poor man, a pauper, an indigent. Pauper, what is pauper? According to Bali, their translation, I do not understand well. According to Bali, pauper means a single one. He had no parents. But really, he had parents. But later, they gave up this son because they cannot feed this son because of poorness. Because of poverty, they cannot serve their son. So they left him when he was a little bit young, maybe about 7 years old. What is the problem? At the time he became lepsa. He became a leper. Maybe father, maybe not a barren father, I think. Her mother is very poor lady. When he got this pregnant baby in her womb, she suffered a lot. Why? He was coming up from the hell. So mothers who carry baby who is coming up from the hell became very heavy, very hot in their womb. A lot of sufferings. She cannot get any suitable food from that time. In her mother's womb, both ears are done off. No ears when he was born. When he was born, the whole body became white. Very white. And very soon, he became a leper. Boils are coming out from his body. Parts are also coming out from his body. Her mother suffered with a lot of suffering. It is not easy for them to get any food, any proper food, to maintain their life. So because of this reason, when he was 7 years old, her mother gave her one cup in hand and left him alone. So he became alone. This is pauper. The index gate means he is lowest caste in human world. Lowest caste at that time. What is the problem? Problem is his karma. What is karma? In one of previous life, he was a rich man's son. His father is very rich, great treasurer. As a son of very rich man, he had a lot of pride. But he wanted to show his glory. One day, with many splendid glory, he came out from his house to go to one park, splendid park. On that day, he wanted to show his glory to many people. He had the intention many people will see him when he was going to his park. This is his hope. But on that day, one picture got bowed up. Picture got bowed up, single bowed up. Came out from Nirodha Samabhati, cessation attainment. He entered cessation attainment for 7 days. Then after 7 days, he came out from that cessation attainment and he went for alms round in the city Benares. When he was going for alms round, at that time many devotees pay respect to the Bhikkhu Buddha. They don't care that rich man's son. He want to show his glory, but no people pay respect to him. Many devotees pay respect to the Bhikkhu Buddha only. He had a lot of jealousy. This is one reason. Another reason is at the time Bhikkhu Buddha became very old. His robes are also very old, done up. So he thinks he is Lucas one, he thinks. And then he may begin a leper. So because of this reason, he cover his body with his robes. Then, with a repulsive mind, he accused Bhikkhu Buddha as a leper. This is one problem. He cannot control his mind. Who is this leper? Why they are paying respect to this leper? In this way, he condemned Bhikkhu Buddha. But Bhikkhu Buddha is really not leper. So because of this reason, this is his unwholesome karma, which he had accumulated on the way. Then he went to the park. But in the park also, he had no much delight because many people do not pay respect to him. He wants to show his glory, but he is not yet successful. Because of this unwholesome karma, after death, he was reborn in hell for many thousand years. When he came out from his hell, then he became a leper. So this is one reason. So in this case, I want to relate to the origination. When he saw Bhikkhu Buddha, if he can accumulate wholesome dhammas, at that time he can accumulate many wholesome dhammas. Because many devotees pay respect to the Bhikkhu Buddha, offer food, delicious food, etc. If he can also pay respect to the Bhikkhu Buddha at that time, he may accumulate many wholesome dhammas, but he don't want to accumulate wholesome dhammas. He want to show his glory. He want to be respected by people. But if he cannot gain, could not gain any respect from people, then he condemned Bhikkhu Buddha. This is problem. At that time, if he understand this is Bhikkhu Buddha, no problem. But he understand as a leper. This is problem. But at that time, if he understand this is leper, this is wrong understanding, ignorance, avijja. But he cannot control not to accuse Bhikkhu Buddha as a leper. He had a lot of attachment to say this is leba. So this attachment is called craving. He had craving not for existence. In this case, He had craving for his raw action, raw speech. He cannot control his mind. This is one reason. Another reason is he spiked out his saliva with a rebus mind. This is also another problem. He cannot control his mind. So this is also another craving. Then repeated craving is called, in this case, clinging. So avijja, tanha, upadana, three. These are development rounds. Then he says he is labha. This is labha. This is wrong speech. Wrong speech. He commit at the time many unwholesome actions. He accumulate many unwholesome dhammas. These are sankhara formations. But they are anicca impermanent. As long as they rise, they pass away. So they are anicca. But when they pass away, they left behind the karmic force. This is called karma. Altogether, how many causes? 5 causes. Avijja, tanha, upadana, sankhara, and karma. This is the samudaya sejja, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Because of this samudaya sejja, after death, he was reborn in hell. 5 aggregates. These 5 aggregates are the noble truth of the suffering. But before that life, in one of previous life, he had accumulated wholesome dhammas also. When he is accumulating wholesome dhammas, he had practiced samatha vipassana thoroughly. This is one cause. But his vipassana may be not yet successful, on the way only. Maybe he partially understands ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality only. His vipassana is very weak. His concentration also not stable at that time. So because of this reason, when he was these wholesome karmas produced to be reborn as a rich man's son, great treasurer's son. But in that life, if he accumulate a wholesome karmas, he was reborn in hell again. When he escaped from hell, his wholesome dhammas, although they are very good, high-class wholesome dhammas, they cannot produce suitable patisandhi, but linking mind moment 5 aggregates. New suitable existence. They can produce only to be gone, labha only. Why? His unwholesome karma obstruct his wholesome karma to produce good life, good existence. So, because of this reason, he was reborn as a labha. When he was reborn as a labha, at the time, both ears are disappeared, already lost in her, in his mother's womb. Slowly, from his body, many parts are coming out. The whole body begin putrid. Bad smells are coming out. Slowly, when he grew up, wherever he was go, he stayed on one street. On that street, many people cannot sleep well because of his shouting voice. Crying voice. When he was crying, when he leaned on the wall or maybe on the tree, many bacterias are biting to his disease, his body. So he cannot stay. Always he was shouting the whole night. Because of this voice, many people on that street cannot sleep well. So they gave him one name, Sopa Buddha. Sopa is sleeping person, Buddha means awakening. One person who awake sleeping people, many. So they gave this name Subha Buddha. But he was reborn in the Rajagha. At the time, Buddha was in Rajagha. One day, many people accumulate together and they built one mandapa. One mandapa means one building to offer food, Buddha and Sangha. So, many people are gathered together and they are offering food to the Buddha and Sangha. At the time, he saw crowded people from far away. He think he may get some delicious food. Hoping in this way, he went to that mandapa. But from far away, he saw the Buddha and Sangha taking their food. So because of this reason, he went in from suitable place to listen the Buddha's Dhamma talk. Now this is first time. He had listened Buddha's Dhamma many times. He had a lot of opportunity. So because of this reason, he practiced Samatha Vipassana diligently, successfully. Because of this reason, on that day, while they are offering to the Buddha and Sangha delicious food, late devotees also gave him some delicious food to him. On the day, he eats delicious food. Because of this reason, his body gained a lot strong energy. Because of this reason, his mind is very clear on that day. After meal, Buddha also look at the assembly, late devotees, today who will understand follower truth. On that day, he saw Super Buddha alone can understand the follower truth. When he tried Dhamma talk, Super Buddha alone will understand the follower truth. So because of this reason, emphasizing Super Buddha, Buddha preached Dhamma, gradual sayings, gradual Dhamma talk, Anubhavi Gata, Anubhava Gata. First Buddha explained about the wholesome karmas depending on donation. Then Buddha explains the result of donation. Then Buddha explained about Sila Bhaju. Then Buddha explained about Sagha, the happiness in Deva world, etc. Then Buddha explained the Adinava, pulse of the sensual enjoyments. Then Buddha explained Samatha. When Buddha is explaining about Samatha meditation, he can follow Buddha's teaching and he can concentrate well. Why? This is not first time. Previously also he had practiced many times Samatha Vipassana. Whenever he gets any opportunity, he listens Buddha's Dhamma, then he practices Samatha Vipassana diligently. On the day also when Buddha is expounding about Samatha meditation practice, he listens carefully. And then he can practice Samatha successfully. Which jhana it is not mentioned, so we cannot say exactly, but he had good concentration on that day. At that time, Buddha explains for noble truth stage by stage. What is noble truth of suffering? How you should try to discern the noble truth of suffering? What is the origin of the noble truth of suffering? How you should try to discern the origin of the noble truth of suffering? And these two noble truths are the object of Vipassana. They are called Sankhara formations. How you should contemplate these formations as nature, dukkha, and anatta, systematically according to the stage of Vipassana inside knowledge. So Buddha explained stage by stage. Then slowly he realized Nibbana. Why? When his inside knowledge became mature, at that time, He reacts at the end of his insight knowledge, but in fruition knowledge arise. That but in fruition knowledge realize Nibbana. So, on the day he realized Nibbana. But, when he realized Nibbana, he was very happy. Because of this reason, he want to explain about his experience to the Buddha. But he had no chance, because many devotees are surrounding to the Buddha in Sangha. After the Dhamma talk, Buddha also go back to the monastery. At the time, many devotees are following to the Buddha. He had no chance to approach the Buddha, but he was following after the assembly to the bamboo group, Weluwana Vihara. So when many devotees came back from the Buddha, at the day he quickly followed after the Buddha. But he cannot reach. When he reached Jedawana, when he reached Weluwana Vihara, at the day only he can see Buddha. But on the way, when he was following after the Buddha, Sagga, the king of Deva, sees, this Sopa Buddha is following after the Buddha. I want to test his confidence. So he came down to the Deva wall and standing in the Sagai, he told Sopa Buddha, Sopa Buddha, you are very poor man. A lot of wealth I will give you. If you say, this is not Buddha, this is not Dhamma, this is not the Sangha, I don't want Buddha, I don't want Dhamma, I don't want Sangha. In this way, if you can say, then I will give you a lot of wealth. Who are you? He asked. I'm the king of Deva Sagga. Maybe 1,000 Saggas. If you told in this way, I will never tell, this is not Buddha, this is not Dhamma, this is not Sangha. You told me I'm very poor man. But I'm not poor. I have a lot of wealth. What? Sadha, Sila, Sudha, Jaga, Punya. Five. Another two is Hiri Odaba, shame and dread. So seven noble, excellent wealth I have, requisites I have already. So I'm not a poor man. In this way, he replied. Then after that, Sagga quickly go to the Buddha and inform about this information which he had get from Sopa Buddha. Then Buddha also told, it is impossible to say this is not Buddha, this is not Dhamma, this is not Sangha, because he already realized Dhamma, four noble truths. So because of this reason, you cannot say in this way. He will never tell, this is not Buddha, this is not Dhamma, this is not Sangha. In this way, Buddha explained. After that, he approached to the Buddha and explained his experience. At the day, Buddha later, Buddha explained to the bhikkhus this story. In this story, I want to tell is five important factors only. Because this poor man in this Buddha's dispensation undertook competence, sadha. And he undertook competence, sadha. This is number one. Number two is he undertook bhaju, sila. Number three, he undertook sutta, learning knowledge and penetrating knowledge. Number four, he undertook jaga. Jaga, they translate donation or generosity. But in this case, relinquishing. Number five is wisdom. Wisdom is the inside knowledge as well as bad knowledge. These are called wisdom. So, when he is listening to the Dhamma, at that time, he understood The noble truth of suffering, dukkha, sitya. This is ultimate materiality, ultimate mentality, or five aggregates. Ultimate materiality, ultimate mentality are same, like five aggregates. Ultimate materiality is the aggregate of materiality. Ultimate mentality are therefore mental aggregates. The aggregate of feeling, the aggregate of perception, the aggregate of formations, and the aggregate of consciousness. These are called ultimate mentality. So ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality are five aggregates. He already understood these five aggregates. How he understood? Before this Dhamma talk, he already accumulated samatha. He already practiced samatha up to jhana concentration stage. Based on this jhana concentration stage, he practiced four elements meditation systematically. So because of this reason, he already understood ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality. Then he again trying to understand dependent origination. This is the second noble truth. The noble truth of the origin of suffering. This noble truth, if he want to understand, first he must learn under the guidance of teacher, especially in this case, he listen Buddha's Dhamma talk. This is also learning knowledge. After listening Buddha's Dhamma talk, he practically practices to understand these two noble truths. So this is also called sutta. Learning knowledge also called sutta. Penetrating these two noble truths is also called sutta. That sutta is called learning knowledge or penetrating knowledge. He had a lot of confidence. Confidence in the Buddha, confidence in the Dhamma, confidence in the Sangha. Why? He already understood four noble truths, especially Nibbana. He realized Nibbana. So, he had a lot of confidence in the Buddha, which taught four noble truths. He himself also understood four noble truths. So, Buddha also understood four noble truths. He had confidence. In the same way, he had a lot of confidence in the Dhamma. What are Dhamma? There are 10 types of Dhamma. Number 1, Popa knowledge. Number 2, Four Prussian knowledges. Number 3, Nibbana. Popa and Prussian knowledge, these are all together 9 Subramandain Dhammas. And 8 Subramandain Dhammas. These 8 Subramandain Dhammas in Nibbana together called 9 Subramandain Dhammas. Another one is learning knowledge Priyati Dhamma. So he had a lot of confidence in this Dhamma also because he himself realized Nibbana. So there is no doubt in him about Nibbana. Another is he already practiced dependent origination. So he had a lot of confidence in dependent origination. This is the law of the activity of the karma. Past causes produce present effect. Present causes will produce future effect. In this way, he already discerns. Because of this reason, he had a lot of confidence in past five aggregates, present five aggregates, future five aggregates. Both past and future aggregates also. Because of this, he had already practiced, undertook sila, bhajo. He already practiced samatha concentration. He already practiced to understand four noble truths by direct knowledge. So, he had a lot of confidence in three trainings. Because of this reason, he had undertook confidence, number one. Then, he undertook bhajo. From that day, he always tried to purify his five precepts. As a lay devotee, he always practiced to purify his bhajo. Huh? So he undertook Paju. Then another is learning knowledge. He already understood ultimate materiality, ultimate mentality and their causes by learning knowledge as well as by practical knowledge. So he already undertook Sudha, learning knowledge as well as penetrating knowledge. Number four is Jaga, relinquishing. He was at the time very poor man. He cannot offer any food to the Sangha or to the Buddha because he is very poor. He is at the time a beggar. So because of this reason, he cannot donate anything. Although he cannot donate anything, in this case, Jaga means relinquishment. What is relinquishment? Relinquishing his belongings. This is number one. Number two is relinquishing defilements. Defilements means Sotapanna destroying Sakaya Dhiti, wrong view of personality, Vichikaicha doubt, and then Silabhada Brahmasa, believing in rights and wrong view of rights and rituals. So these three defilements already he relinquished. Because of this reason, he had relinquished jealousy also. Envy and jealousy. Because of this reason, he had no desire to occupy his belongings, not to offer anyone. He had ready to offer anything if he had anything to offer. So this relinquishment. Do you want to realize Nibbana? Do you want? If you want to realize Nibbana, you must try to relinquish your belongings. Can you relinquish your husband? Your wife? Your sons and daughters, your belongings, you must relinquish. If you occupy them, how you can attain Nibbana? So this is problem. You must choose anyone. If you want to realize Nibbana or to attain Nibbana, you must relinquish everything. This is called Saddha, Jaga. And that he already undertook Jaga, relinquishment. Another is wisdom. He had already accumulated inside knowledge as well as path knowledge. Inside knowledge understood formations as anicca, dukkha, and anatta systematically. But path knowledge realized Nibbana only. So, but when realizing Nibbana, but knowledge destroying defilements also. So at that time he can relinquish all defilements also. Because of this reason, he had already accumulated five noble requisites or five excellent requisites. Number one, Saddha competence. Number two, Sila Bhaju. Number three, Sudha, learning knowledge as well as penetrating knowledge. Number four, Jaga, relinquishing. Number five, Pinya, wisdom. So he undertook this path. Because of this reason, on the way, he may think, Sagga, king of Deva told me I'm a very poor man. I want to show him how I'm very rich. So he made such intention. At the day, he was attacked by a cow. But according to commentary's explanation, this is not real cow. One yakha go into the cow and attacked to him. And then he passed away. At the day, he was reborn in Deva world. Quickly, when he was reborn in Deva world, he outshines other devas in raga, beauty, and glory. Do you want to be beautiful, Deva? If you want to be beautiful deva, then you should emulate this example. How you should try? You must accumulate 5 noble requisites. Saddha, sila, sudha, jaga, pinya. So, this is, in this case, if he understood as a deva, this is wrong perception, wrong understanding. This is called ignorance. He had attachment to the deva existence. This is called craving. Repeated craving is called clinging. He accumulated wholesome karmas such as samatha vipassana. This vipassana wholesome dhammas are called sankhara formations. But in other words, he accumulated saddha, sila, sudha, jaga, penya. These are wholesome dhammas, sankhara formations. These formations are anicca. As long as they arise, they pass away very, very quickly. So they are impermanent anicca. But they left behind karmic force, which can produce new existence as a jiva, according to his own wish. Altogether, there are 5 causes. Avijja, ignorance, tanha, craving, upadana, clinging, sankhara, formations, and karma, karmic force. Altogether, 5 causes. These 5 causes are the noble truth of the origin of suffering, samudaya asajja. Because of this samudaya asajja, then in deva world, 5 aggregates appear. These 5 aggregates are the noble truth of the suffering, dukkha asajja. So this dukkha asajja and samudaya asajja, if you understand, then this is ready to practice vipassana. Okay, today let us stop here. We should try question answer. In our last Dhamma talk, we had trying about number 6 question about Abhidhamma. But I want to explain a little bit more about this question. Swami Theravada tradition also rejected Abhidhamma as an actual teaching of Buddha, claiming either he did not teach to the human realm or the actual Abhidhamma texts are distorted after different versions of translation. I want to explain this again. One day, Benarebe Usethila, Sierra Usethila, he is Burmese, went to England. And then he teach Vibhanga Abhidhamma text to the listeners. And then he wrote Abhidhamma translation. Abhidhamma translation means Vibhanga translation. When he is writing this Abhidhamma translation, one Englishman write one introduction. In his introduction, he explains, some Westerners or some scholars, they say Abhidhamma is not the teaching of Buddha. If the Abhidhamma is not the teaching of the Buddha, who teach this Dhamma? Only one who has equal knowledge or equal understanding knowledge can teach the Abhidhamma like Buddha. If this is not Buddha's teaching, then another one who has equal knowledge with Buddha can teach this Abhidhamma. In this way he explained. Because the Abhidhamma is very profound, deep teaching, it is true. But although it is very deep and profound, there is no one in human world who can teach Abhidhamma like that. This is the domain of Buddha only, not the domain of disciples. There is no one who teach Abhidhamma. There is nothing which mentions this is taught by such and such person. When Buddha teach this Abhidhamma in Devavaha, this is Abhidhamma, they are altogether 7 books. Last book is Patthana. In Patthana there are 5 volumes. Altogether there are 12 volumes. These 12 volumes Buddha taught within one sitting. According to our human lifespan time, 3 months. Can you listen 3 months successfully without eating, without sleeping? Can you listen? There is no one who can listen for 3 months successfully without eating, without sleeping in human world. But in Devavaha, this is only for a short time. So, successfully for 3 months, Buddha taught this Abhidhamma in Devavaha. Why Buddha taught in Devavaha? Another reason is they will understand Abhidhamma thoroughly. Yege ji kusala dhamma sabhede kusala mula. Yeva bana kusala mula sabhede dhamma kusala. Do you understand? Do you understand? They was understand well. They understand thoroughly. Why? Because of this reason, after listening Abhidhamma, many devas became Sotapannas, many devas became Sakadagamis, many devas became Anagamis, many Brahmas and devas became Arhats. So, they will understand Pulubad hooks in detail, but I want to explain a little bit more. Without understanding Four Noble Truths, one cannot attain Nibbana. Among Four Noble Truths, Dukkha Sijja and Smurya Sijja, the Noble Truth of Suffering and the Noble Truth of the Origin of Suffering, these two Noble Truths are the object of Vipassana. What is the Noble Truth of Suffering? In Mahasri Brahana Sutta, as well as Dhammacakka Bodhana Sutta, etc. Buddha says, Sankhedena Binshu Bharane Ghanda Dukkha. In brief, 5 aggregates of Galingai are called Dukkha Sijja. In this way, only Buddha taught. What are 5 Galingai aggregates? In Abhidhamma, Buddha explained in detail. This explanation no one can teach in human world. The only Buddha can teach only. This is the domain of Buddha, not the domain of Savaka disciples. Even Buddha is not Abhiya in this world, there will be no teacher who can teach Abhidhamma like that. Nowadays, there are many scientists. They cannot understand Abhidhamma well, like in our Buddha's teaching. Swami says that this is later addition. It is also not true. Why? In first council, when they are reciting Buddha's teachings, they divide into 2 portions, Dhamma and Vinaya. They give responsibility to the disciple of Venerable Upalis to recite Vinaya. Then they give different responsibilities to the different disciples. They give responsibility to recite Abhidhamma, Venerable Sariputta's disciples. 500 bhikkhus. You must recite this Abhidhamma not to disappear. In this way they give responsibility. Because of this reason, in first council, Abhidhamma is always included. But Abhidhamma is Dhamma. Sutta also Dhamma. Because they are same. Same means, in Sutta, Buddha explains the way of practice. But in Abhidhamma, Buddha explains the meaning of the Dhammas in detail. As well as the way of practice also mentioned in Abhidhamma. So both in detail, both are explained in Abhidhamma. But in suttas, when they are listening to Dhamma, like Sopa Buddha, when he is listening to Dhamma, he can understand the Dhamma thoroughly. At that dyingbuddha.pornobertruth. When he is expounding pornobertruth, he do not explain in detail because he already understood. This is not when he became Sotapanna. When he was becoming Sotapanna, this is not first time to listen Buddha's Dhamma talk. Before that stage, he already see Buddha many times. He listened the Dhamma. He practiced Samatha Vipassana thoroughly, but he cannot realize Nibbana only. On that day, his Vipassana insight became mature. Because of this reason, Rappari emphasizing Sopa Buddha. Buddha taught the Dhamma systematically only. So, at that time, Buddha do not explain in detail why. Sopa Buddha already understood what is the noble truth of suffering, what is the noble truth of the origin of suffering, how we should contemplate then as nature, dukkha, anatta. He already practiced, he already understood. Because of this reason, Buddha do not teach in detail. But when he was expounding Abhidhamma in Dawa Tensa, Deva world, at that day, Swandevas are Niyukamas. Niyukamas means from different world cycles. They are uncountable world cycles, according to our Buddha's teaching. 31 planes are called one universe. There are uncountable 31 planes, many 31 planes. So from different 31 planes, many devas and many brahmas are coming to listen this Dhamma talk. So among these devas, they are new ones. They are not yet listened to the Dhamma. So because of this reason, emphasizing some devas, Buddha explained one by one in detail what is the noble truth of suffering, what is rupa, what is nama, how many types of rupas are there, etc. In this way, Buddha explained in detail. Because of this reason, there are 7 Abhidhamma books. After listening to Dhamma Sangani, there are also many people begin noble ones, Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahas. In the same way, after Dhamma Sangani, Buddha also explained Vipinga. At that time also many devas, many brahmas begin noble ones. So successfully in this way. When he was expounding Patthana, his knowledge is very wide. In the same way, after enlightenment, before he was preaching Dhamma to the group bhikkhus, Dhamma Chaka Bodhana Sutta, when he was staying around Bodhi tree, Yaranagra, in Yaranagra means the jewel house. In that jewel house, he was staying for 7 days. At that time also, he contemplated 7 Abhidhammas. But when he is contemplating Patthana, last book, at that time, Satrum powerful rays are appearing from his body up to 1,000 sakawala. Now you may understand, many meditators now can see light. When their concentration is very deep and profound, then at that time, their body emits strong, powerful lights. Many meditators can see. This is only Anapana or 4 elements meditation only. Only just they are seeing 4 elements meditate, 4 elements only. At that time, also strong, powerful light emits from their body. Now, some meditators now here experience. In the same way, when Buddha is contemplating 7 Abhidhammas, when he contemplates Patthana, at that time, strong powerful lights are emitted from his body. These lights are called the light of wisdom. This light of wisdom spread up to 1,000 chakrawala. So, because of this reason, these 7 Abhidhammas are the domain of Buddha only, not the domain of disciples. This is also not true. This is later addition. In first council, they divide Buddha's teachings, Dhamma and Vinaya. It is true. But when again they also divide by groups. Why they divide by groups? For easy reciting only. Number one is Digha Nikaya, long discourses. They give responsibility to recite this Digha Nikaya. I forget, maybe Binaribhag, Mahakasapa's disciple, etc. And then another is the middle discourses, Mijjhima Nikaya. This is one group. Then another group is Sanyutta Nikaya. This is one group. Then another Nikaya is Anguttara Nikaya, Kendra Sayings. This is one group. So to recite this group as a group, you must recite not to disappear these suttas. You must recite this group and this, not do this via, in this way they give different responsibilities. Last Nikaya is Kodaka Nikaya. What is the meaning of Kodaka Nikaya? Miscellaneous Nikaya. In Kodaka Nikaya, there are three portions. Some suttas, also called Kodaka Nikaya, like Dhammapada. You may understand Dhammapada, very famous book. This is also called Kodaka Nikaya. Then maybe you may understand Jataka Chaturis. They are also called Kodaka Nikaya. So there are many suttas. They combine different suttas. This is under Kodaka Nikaya. Then another one is Vinaya. They give responsibility to recite Vinaya to the disciples of Binaribhag Upali. Then there is another group is Abhidhamma. The Abhidhamma, they give responsibility to the disciples of Binaribhag Sariputta. So all together, there are five Nikayas. When they divide five Nikayas, why they divide? Because for easy reciting, this is one reason. Another reason is not to disappear these different suttas and different Abhidhamma, different Vinayas. To give responsibility to recite and to learn or to teach these suttas. So in this way, first concept also Abhidhamma is mentioned. In the same way, second concept, third concept, fourth concept also, in the same way, Abhidhamma is mentioned. No, this is later edition. They criticize. They do not practice well. If they practice practically, they will not criticize. If they understood ultimate materiality, ultimate mentality, and dependent origination thoroughly by their own direct knowledge, they will never criticize. Abhidhamma is not Buddha's teaching. Because what is ultimate materiality? What is ultimate mentality? This is explained in detail in Abhidhamma only. According to, for example, here, in your eye, there are 54 types of materiality. What are 54? And so that they do not explain in detail. In Abhidhamma, it is explained in detail. So when you are discerning four elements meditation, if you discern in your eye four elements systematically, then you can see small body gas. If you analyze these small body gas, there are six types of small body gas. For example, I dagate kalaba, body dagate kalaba, sex dagate kalaba, mind produce odak kalaba, temperature produce odak kalaba, nutritive essence produce odak kalaba, all together six types. Only six types, but in each type there are many kalabas. So if you analyze these kalabas, you will understand only 54 types of rupas. Now it is many meditators who practice practically, they can clearly see these 54 types. Then it is not necessary to criticize. Abhidhamma is not the teaching of Buddha. They criticize because they do not see this ultimate materiality. Because of this reason, they only criticize. In the same way, here, Anapana Nimitta is only the venerable Buddha Gosa's explanation, they say here. It is also not true. Now many meditators can see Anapana Nimitta. So it is not commentator's explanation. It is practical. So because of this reason, criticizing is everywhere not good. So you should also practice practically. After practicing practically, at the time only if you criticize, it will be beneficial to you. Okay. Another question. Number 7. Oh, number 5. Number 5. Yes, yes.
Question number 5. How do we know a person is born with 2 roots or 3 roots? Is it a waste of time for a person with 2 roots to meditate? I repeat, how do we know a person is born with 2 roots or 3 roots? Is it a waste of time for a person with 2 roots to meditate?
Usually I research many meditators. If they have enough interest to practice samatha vipassana, if they have a lot desire to practice samatha vipassana, such persons are usually not two roots. Usually they have 3 roots. How we can know? When they practice dependent origination, if they can discern ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality and then not but linking my moment, at that time they can calculate how many mental formations are there in time of birth linking mind moment. Usually, there are 34 mental formations or 33 mental formations. What are 34? If you want to understand 34 by your direct knowledge, please practice practically. But here I want to explain is among 34 or 33, there are 3 roots. Aloba, non-greed. Adosa, no hatred, and amoha, wisdom. These 3 are always present. What is the difference between 3 roots and between 34 and 33? 33 is sometimes pity is absent. Why? At the time, when our feeling is neutral feeling. Because of this reason, pity is not associated with that part linking my moment. Because of this reason, there are 34. But some meditators, their feeling of birth linking mind moment is sukha, somanasa, happy feeling. Because of this reason, piti is associated with that birth linking mind consciousness. So because of this reason, there are 34. At that day, you can understand by your direct knowledge, I have 3 roots or 2 roots. But if they have 2 roots, no much problem. No much problem means, although they may do not attain path and process knowledge, or if they cannot realize Nibbana in this very life, then this becomes parami. So you are accumulating parami only. If you do not accumulate parami in this very life, then next life to attain Nibbana or to realize Nibbana is not sure. If you accumulate paramis in this very life to understand what is ultimate materiality, what is ultimate mentality, what is their causes, what are their causes. If you understand these 2 noble truths, then we can say you are accumulating your parami, wholesome tamas. Because of this parami, although you cannot realize Nibbana in this very life, then in coming future life, you can realize Nibbana. So, it is a waste of time for a person with 2 roots to meditate. Okay, good, very good.
Next one.
Number 7.
Yeah. Is it possible to develop an ability to see others' past and future lives and dependent origination so that we can help others? I think it means, is it possible for someone to develop an ability to see others' past and future lives and dependent origination so that we can help others?
Do you want to help others? If you want to help others, please go to Paul. I will teach you. Is it okay? partially Bodhi Belt. Partially means the Buddha way mentioned is in Sula Sonyada Soda. In Sula Sonyada Soda, Buddha taught systematically Samatha Vipassana practice up to Anagami stage. After Anagami stage, Buddha explained five mundane psychic powers. After explaining five mundane psychic powers, he explained Arhat stage. What is the reason? Usually Buddha's teaching is Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, then Arhat. Directly go to from Anagami stage to Arhat stage. But in that Sota, Buddha explained between Anagami stage and Arhat stage, five mundane psychic powers. What is the reason? Commentary explains the reason. Anagami path knowledge destroys 5 hindrances completely without remainder. So because of this reason, in Anagami there are no 5 hindrances. If there are no 5 hindrances are opposite to jhana concentration. If there are no 5 hindrances, jhana is very easy for them. They can maintain that jhana concentration not to fall down. Because of this reason, jhana is fundamental cause for psychic powers. They must practice tinkasinas in 8 attainments. In 14 ways. If they can practice tinkasinas in 8 attainments, or especially from Ad Kasina to White Kasina, 8 kasinas, in 8 kasinas, in each kasina, 8 attainments, in 14 ways, then they can attain psychic power very quickly. This way of practicing, Buddha want to show this way of practicing. So because of this reason, Buddha explained between Anagami stage and Arhat stage, 5 psychic mundane powers. Among 5 psychic mundane powers, reading others might also include. If you want to help others, if you can read others mind, that is pracheja vijanana abhinyana psychic power. Understanding the other's mind, then you may partially understand other's dependent origination also. Partially means sometimes a little bit difficult to explain. I will say one story. I would like to explain with one story. One day, Venerable Sariputta teach one disciple. That disciple is young man, very beautiful. As a layman, he was a goldsmith. Goldsmith. So because of, he was very beautiful as well as he was very gentle. So Venerable Sariputta think such a person has a lot lustful temperament. Because of this reason, he teach asubha, fondness meditation. But he cannot attain any achievement. He cannot attain jhana. He even cannot see any light. For 3 months, he practiced diligently. But he cannot see anything. So after was a rains retreat, he fetched this disciple to the Buddha. And he explained about the Buddha, his difficulties. At that day, Buddha says to Venerable Sariputta, "Oh, Sariputta, please keep your disciple here. Even if you will see your disciple become Arhat." In this way, Buddha taught. Because in this case, Prachaita Vijanana Abhinyana is not easy. Reading others' mind only alone not easy to understand this. This is Asaya Nusaya Jnana. Understanding the latent tendency of disciples. Indriya Prabriyati Jnana. Understanding the maturity of the faculty of disciples. These two knowledges possessed by Buddha only. Even Venerable Sariputta also do not possess such knowledge. Because of this reason, Whenever Sariputta do not understand his disciple's situation or his disciple's divine origination thoroughly, what is his Bharami? He do not understand well. So Buddha understand well. So because of this, Buddha gave a very big lotus flower, like the wheel of Buloka. About this, red color, Bruma lotus flower. Please go to the corner of Jedavana Vihara. Please try to see this lotus flower, red color, as a Lohita, red kasina. How to practice this Lohita kasina, Buddha explained in detail. And then, when he sees this red color, lotus flower, very big, like wheel of Buloka, very happy. With happy mind, he went to the corner of Jedavana, and then he contemplated. Very soon, lotus flower disappear, and the kasina sagal, red color kasina sagal appear. And then he concentrate on that sagal, and extend this kasina sagal up to infinite universe. And then he practiced Pajjana, then second jhana, then third jhana, and then fourth jhana, within once a day. At that time, Buddha sent ray, Buddha's rays. And then he teach to go to Vipassana. Then he practiced Vipassana systematically, stage by stage. And then even then he became Rahat. So because of this reason, to understand others' dependent origination is not easy, but partially can understand. Partially means that disciple and you all together in previous life had been practiced samatha vipassana or had been accumulated wholesome dhammas together. You may partially understand. But if they are different, it is not easy to understand. But if you can reach others' mind partially, you may be able to help others. Okay.
Next question, very interesting one. If one steals and after realizing it, returns it, is karma still in operation? I repeat. If one steals and after realizing it, returns it, is karma still in operation?
Okay, still operation. For example, I want to show you for easy understanding, Ajata Sattu. He kills his father, already finished. But he had a lot bias or a lot confidence in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. He accumulated many wholesome dhammas. But his karma is karma only, cannot cure again. In the same way, here if you steal according to our Vinaya rule. For example, if you want to steal this watch, for example, clock, if you want to steal this, then you bring. With stealing mind, if you bring, it move from original place. And then we decide this is parajika. But although later you have, oh, this is not good for me. Then I should not do such bad things. So then you put an original brace. But still you already parajika. Parajika means you become lay devotee, not bhikkhu. In the same way, in this case also, if you already see, if you move a little bit, only for a few seconds maybe, from original brace, then later, if you remember this is not good, then you put in the original place. This is also called adhinatana. Already finished. We can do nothing. But we can do is you should try to become sotapanna. If you become sotapanna, this unwholesome karma will not produce to be reborn in one of four hopeful states. But I remember one story. Two princes, they are taking part in one pond. At that time, they take off their clothes and they go down into the water. One prince finishes first and then go Gopas, and then he dressed his body, and then another cloth he put in somewhere. So another one has no cloth to go up. So this only just jogging only. This jogging also produced to be reborn in maybe one Lokas Devava. When he was Lokas Devava, he has no cloth. So this is problem, because this is only just jogging. So jogging also problem. But real stealing is, it is not necessary to say.
Okay. Next one is also quite interesting. If anatta means no self, no being, no soul, then who is doing the killing? If anatta means no self, no being, no soul, then who is doing the killing?
Now, who is meditating? Please explain, who is meditating? If you understand I'm meditating, this is wrong. Why? If you gain some four elements, now there are four elements meditators also. They partially can see small body gets kalabas. If you gain some four elements in your body systematically, you can see only kalabas. These kalabas, as long as they arise, they pass away very, very quickly. If you analyze these kalabas, you can see ultimate materiality only. Within 1 second, they pass away very, very quickly, many, many millions, rise and pass away. There is no time to tell, this is I, this is he, this is she. If it is so, who is meditating? So, all are mentality and materiality. Among this mentality and materiality, if we analyze mentality, there is Chetana. This is most important factor. Factor. That factor, Chetana factor, is very important. This mentality together with Chetana mental factor is Vagai, wholesome tamas or unwholesome tamas only. Sankharas, when you are contemplating vipassana, for example, the noble truth of suffering and the noble truth of the origin of suffering, these two noble truths are the object of vipassana. Then you must contemplate them as anicca, dukkha, anatta. When contemplating that inside knowledge also, 34 mental formations, cognitive process. This ultimate materiality, mentality, and their causes are called formations, sankhara. This sankhara also anicca, impermanent. This inside knowledge also anicca, impermanent. Both are anicca. Anicca dhammas are contemplating anicca dhammas only. There is no one, no person, no being. If you understand in this way, at that time only you can realize nibbana. In the same way, here, when they are killing, at that time, dosa group, including Chetana, dosa and mental fadas, especially 18 mental fadas are present. These 18 mental fadas are trying to kill only. Mental sankharas are contemplating sankharas. In the same way, here, dosa group sankharas are committing killing only. So, although there are no being, no soul, then who is killing is, this is wrong question. What dhammas are doing the killing? This is right question. So, which dhammas are doing the killing? Dosa group dhammas are doing the killing. Who is meditating? Sankharas are meditating only. Do you understand? Okay. Yes. Another more question.
Well, this is a three question. Everything is it right? Sayadaw, is it right to say that meditation is nothing but a training to gain peaceful mind? Is it right to say Nibbana is the extreme state of peaceful mind? Is it right to say that in meditation practice, nothing is more important than peace? So, is it right? Huh? Is it right to say that meditation is nothing but a training to gain peaceful mind? Is it right to say Nibbana is the extreme state of peaceful mind? Is it right to say that in meditation practice, nothing is more important than peace?
Meditation is nothing but a training to gain peaceful mind. This is not correct. There are two types of meditation, samatha and vipassana. Samatha, they translate tranquility of mind or serenity of mind. This is peaceful mind only. When you are practicing samatha, you can gain peaceful mind. It is true. But this is not the goal of our Buddhist meditation. The goal of our Buddhist meditation is to become arahat or to realize nibbana by arahat path knowledge and rampurusha knowledge only. This is the goal of our Buddha's meditation. But isn't right to say nibbana is the extreme state of peaceful mind? It is also not true. Nibbana is complete cessation of mentality and materiality. There is no mind. So, but Nibbana is the object. Your path in fruition knowledge can realize this Nibbana object. Path in fruition knowledge is in your mentality series. Mentality, materiality process. But this mentality path knowledge, in fruition knowledge can realize this Nibbana. Nibbana is asankhata dhatu. In my last motto, I had explained three types of Nibbana. The complete cessation of defilements is also called Nibbana. The complete cessation of five aggregates is also called Nibbana. The asankhata dhatu, unconditioned element, this is also called Nibbana. That unconditioned element is the object of path and fruition knowledge. This, in Nibbana, there is no mentality, no materiality. So because of this reason, it is not right to say Nibbana is the extreme state of peaceful mind. This is not true. Unconditioned element only. Then isn't right to say that in meditation practice, nothing is more important than peace. It is also not true. In meditation, to penetrate or to understand by direct knowledge, follow the truth. This is important. Without understanding Four Noble Truth, you cannot attain Nibbana. If you understand Four Noble Truth by your direct knowledge, at that time only, one day when you begin arahat, or when you realize Four Noble Truths by your arahant path and fruition knowledge, at that time only, you can attain Nibbana. You can attain Nibbana means when you begin raha at the final cessation stage, pranibbana stage, after that you can attain nibbana only. But before attaining nibbana, you can realize this peaceful state, nibbana. Santi sukha nibbana. Santi sukha means real peaceful happiness, nibbana. You can feel, you can realize. But you can attain this Nibbana after the pre-Nibbana stage, final cessation stage only.
Next one. Do arahants exist in this present world? If the answer is yes, do they go out to preach or teach, or will they be in ranches, in forests or caves?
You should try to be arahant, it is better. How we can say, one day, one teacher and disciple go arms round into the village. On the way, disciple asked to the teacher, in this world, arahats are how? How we can understand this is arahat? Such question he asked. Then teacher says, one bhikkhu who became bhikkhu when they became very old. We call this is called Hodabhavijita. How they translate? Hodabhavijita. When they became very old, like this Vasan Kari, at that time only they ordain. So such persons, when they become very old, ordained as a bhikkhu, even they stay together with arahat, they cannot understand this is arahat. Because his teacher is at that time already became arahat. He do not understand his teacher became arahat. So because of this reason, his teacher says in this way, at that time also he do not understand. So do you understand? So it is not easy to understand who is arahat. There are two types of arahats. One type of arahat, they want to teach dhamma to others, to distribute dhamma to others. But some arahats like Panariva Kundinya, he had no desire to teach dhamma to others. Why? Because when he became arahat, at that time there are many disciples, such as Panariva Sariputta, Panariva Mahamoggallana, etc. Very famous disciples who can teach dhamma thoroughly. This is one reason. Another reason is Buddha, he himself also teaching dhamma to different disciples. This is also another reason. Because of this reason, he want to stay lonely in forest, like Himalaya. In Himalaya, there is no one who will donate him to him, but devas serve to him. So because of this reason, such arahats also present in this world. So we cannot say exactly. Better way is you should try to become arahat, and then other than you should decide, I mean, which type of arahat. It will be better.
Next question. How is nimitta considered stable, fixed and non-moving? And when can we start dropping breath and start paying attention to nimitta? From a stable nimitta, how soon or is there any technique to enter into jhana? Can a person having a first jhana hear sound? So there are many questions here. How is nimitta considered stable, fixed and non-moving? And when can we start dropping breath and start paying attention to nimitta? From a stable nimitta, how soon or is there any technique to enter into jhana? Can a person having first jhana hear sound?
Now, practically, if you practice anapana, you can understand nimitta is stable or not stable. Stable is nimitta stick to the nostril and mix together or combine together with your breath. At that time, when you are focusing on the nimitta, nimitta does not move. Nimitta becomes stable and bright, clear, transparent. But when can we start dropping breath and start paying attention to nimitta? The best way is when you are focusing on your breath object. When your breath, which is coming out from your nose, becomes nimitta, this is very good. For some meditators, they think nimitta is coming from here to here, from outside to nostril. This is not good. Not good means when they focus on that nimitta, then very soon this nimitta will disappear. Because of this reason, they cannot maintain their concentration for a long time. But they should wait and see the breath which is coming up from your nostril or nose becomes nimitta. This is good. Become nimitta, how? Maybe the breath become purple color or white color or transparent color. Any color. So, he bread coming up from your nose becomes nimitta, it is good. Then, when nimitta abhiya, for beginners, usually nimitta is not stable. So, because of this reason, they should not quickly switch their attention to the nimitta. They should wait and see the breath and nimitta unifying or not. When the breath and nimitta unifying, naturally, mind automatically stick to the nimitta. At that time, they should focus on the nimitta only. As long as the mind does not stick to the nimitta, at that time, they should focus on the breath, it is better. But very soon, when the breath and nimitta unify together, at that time, mind automatically stick to the nimitta. At that time, they should focus on the nimitta only. But for some meditators, within 10 minutes or 20 minutes, nimitta may disappear. At that time, they can go back to the natural breath. When they are focusing on their breath, breath will become nimitta very soon. At that time, they can again focus on the nimitta. In this way, if they practice again, nimitta also will become stable. Concentration also will become deeper and deeper. When concentration also stable and becomes deeper and deeper, at that time, nimitta will become bright, transparent. On that transparent nimitta, if they can concentrate thoroughly and deeply, then very soon full absorption will appear. But to attain jhana, full absorption stage, one famous technique is to make balance by controlling faculties only. By controlling faculties are, number one, sadha, confidence. You should have enough confidence in your meditation subject. Watching the breath, it is impossible to see if the breath becomes nimitta. It is impossible. If you have such doubt, this is problem. You cannot attain any achievement. You should have enough confidence in the way of practice of anapana. Then, number two is wariya, effort. You should have enough effort to concentrate on your breath object or to your nimitta. Some meditators inform me, now I'm practicing anapana for many days. When I'm focusing on the nimitta, there is no much improvement, so I'm becoming bored. Such persons, how we can say, their energy or effort becomes less. So if energy or effort becomes less, their concentration cannot develop. So such strong, powerful energy to concentrate on the nimitta also necessary. Then, sati, mindfulness. Their mindfulness must be always mindfulness of the nimitta only. Occasionally, there is wandering mind. Occasionally, they can focus on the nimitta. This is not good. Mindfulness not stable. So, strong, powerful mindfulness is also necessary. Then another is samadhi, concentration. They must concentrate on the nimitta thoroughly. Sometimes they can concentrate, sometimes their mind is wandering. This is also not good. So strong, powerful concentration also necessary. Another important factor is wisdom faculty. What is wisdom faculty? In this case, wisdom faculty means penetrating the anapana nimitta only. Especially anapana paribhaga nimitta counterpart sign. Transparent nimitta. When they are concentrating on that transparent nimitta, sometimes they can see transparent nimitta, sometimes they cannot see. If it is so, then their concentration cannot develop. So these five controlling faculties are necessary. But when they are practicing anapana, they should try to make balance. Two groups. Number one is sadha and wisdom faculty. Such that is the issue have enough confidence. Number two is wisdom penetrating anapana paribhaga nimaita. These two must be balanced. For me, it is impossible to attain jhana. You have no enough confidence in you. This is impossible. So you should have enough confidence in yourself as well as in the Buddha's teaching. Then that confidence in wisdom must be balanced. Another group is effort in concentration. When your effort is very strong, restless mind will appear. When your concentration is very strong, at that time also laziness will appear. So effort and concentration also must be balanced. So if you can try these two groups to make balance, then one day you may attain jhana. One day means mindfulness also must be always necessary. Mindfulness is always necessary. Because of this reason, if by controlling faculties become balanced, one day you may attain jhana. Okay, today let us stop now. 9:30, more than 9:30. Next week, tomorrow we will continue question answers. Sharing merit. Idame bunya asawakhya waha hodu. Idame bunya nibbana sa pachyo hodu. Idame bunya sabha sadhana bhajema tesabhi mesama. Punya bhaga labhantu.